May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Amen. As you all know, preaching is part of lay reader ministry. It's a great duty which requires preparation, prayer, and guidance of the Holy Spirit. But preaching is not just a duty, it's also one of the great privileges. It's a privilege because dozens of people sit still and listen attentively for more than 2 minutes. And to be honest, it's a privilege I don't get too often at home with my daughter. But I must admit that the setting here really helps me to deliver my sermon. We have a wonderful building which protects us from the weather. I have a microphone, so you should be able to hear me fairly well. And, well, you're sitting on cushioned chairs. Now, it is one thing for me to deliver a sermon in a setting like this, but it was a totally different thing for Jesus to deliver his sermon in our gospel reading today. Jesus was somewhere outdoors with his disciples, and when I say disciples, we must remind ourselves that these were not just the 12 disciples, but that Jesus had many followers. He had just started out in his ministry, and he was already very famous. A great multitude of people from all over the place had come to hear him, and, of course, to be healed. They were standing in line just to get hold of him, just to touch him, because great power was coming out from him. And besides all of that, Jesus was a gifted speaker too. I think that the disciples were certainly fascinated with their teacher, a young, dynamic man, not afraid of anybody, challenging even the Pharisees and scribes and capturing common people's hearts with his love and his miraculous deeds. The disciples must have been thrilled to be part of his entourage. Perhaps they even imagined themselves having the same kind of power one day. Wouldn't it be great if people looked up to them, too? Of course, they were very proud, and maybe, or perhaps, most certainly, they were even boasting about it. But in the midst of all of that, in the midst of ministering to the crowd, Jesus seems to sense what is going on in the minds of his disciples. He pauses his work because, for him, this is an urgent issue. He wants to deal with the attitude immediately, and so he looks straight at his disciples, and then and there, he delivers his sermon. It is not directed at the crowd gathered there, but only at his disciples. And he starts off by saying, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit." Being poor in spirit is the opposite of being prideful. Now, wanting to be proud about something lies in our nature, isn't it? We want to be proud about what we do, about our family, our achievements, our career, actually about everything. But whenever people are proud about human strength, there is this very real danger of becoming prideful. In our second reading today, Jeremiah warns his contemporaries that those who make mere flesh their strength and turn their hearts away from God are like a shrub in the desert. They will not see relief when it comes. But those who trust in the Lord will be like a tree planted by the water. Things might go really bad for them. The heat might be full on, but their leaves stay green. They won't be anxious, even when there is a drought for a year. It seems interesting to me that this passage of Scripture does not promise to us that there won't be any heat at all or a drought in our life. What it promises is that when we are planted near the living stream of God, we won't be anxious about it. We won't be anxious about it because we know the one who ultimately sees us through. It's not the strength of the flesh, but divine providence which gives us peace of mind. Jesus, in his sermon, reminds his disciples that those who are poor in spirit are those who inherit God's kingdom. And if we read the last few pages of the Bible, we find out what this kingdom of God is all about. First of all, we discover that God's kingdom is not just a strange concept or some sort of idiom. God's kingdom is a physical kingdom, a real one. And those disciples who commit themselves to Jesus Christ as their Savior will rule with him over this godly kingdom. That's why Jesus wants his disciples to represent God's kingdom here on earth. And so he said, "Blessed are those who hunger." Well, hunger for what? Blessed are those who hunger for justice, and those who hunger for God's kingdom to come into their broken world. Because only those have the courage to speak out against injustice. Their hunger is so intense that they cannot just look away. They have to do something about it. And then Jesus said, "Blessed are those who weep, because weeping shows that the painful and broken circumstances of the people really touch their hearts. And only those who weep qualify to bind up the wounds of those who are broken." Jesus concluded his sermon by pointing to the prophets of the Old Testament days. He said that there were basically two types of prophets, the false ones and the real ones. The real prophets, Jesus explained, followed God's call to confront the people in their community and to point them back to God. But the response they got for that was often very harsh. They were misunderstood, hated, threatened, beaten, or even murdered. But Jesus said that their reward in heaven is great, and so will be the reward of all his disciples who choose to be poor in spirit, to hunger, and to weep. The false prophets, on the other hand, were more concerned about their reputation and popularity. They were too busy with their own life and were not willing to trade their own comfort for justice. They did not warn their contemporaries, nor did they do anything to lighten the burden of those who were suffering. And so Jesus said, those who call themselves his disciples, but whose heart is not right with God, would not be consoled. They won't be filled, nor will they laugh. All which awaits them will be mourning and weeping, because they have missed out their golden chance to be a functioning part of God's kingdom. Jesus delivered his sermon thousands of years ago, but his words remain meaningful to modern day disciples like us. In this day and age, many things are going on around us, sometimes in our immediate communities, but sometimes in other parts of the world. And we have to ask ourselves how we respond to the things going on around us. Are we willing to risk our reputation, to give up our comfort zone for the sake of being true disciples of Jesus? It's up to us. The pattern Jesus sets out for us is very clear, though. First, we have to start with ourselves, by becoming poor in spirit and by becoming humble, accepting and acknowledging our dependence on God. And then, we have to let the Holy Spirit ignite a kind of passion for God's kingdom in our hearts, which is determined. Determined to do everything possible so that the pillars of his kingdom are known to the world. I find that often we have to begin to speak up in our immediate family or friend circle, confronting people in a loving way when they are sinning against God, and pointing them back to his forgiveness. But if you keep silent, if we don't have the courage to rise up and act because we are too scared of confrontation, then we have a share in the consequences of the things which happen when people live outside the will of God. Those of you who attended the safeguarding training day yesterday know what I'm speaking about. And safeguarding is just one topic. There are any number of topics which stir up very personal sentiments, like dating, like being together without being married, abortion, homosexuality, mobbing, suicide, medical assistance to die. Our world is made in a way that it's often easier to weep with those who are wounded than to hunger for justice. It's easier to be tolerant than to confront. Let me close by saying this. Jesus once said to his disciples, "Be shrewd as snakes and innocent like doves, because I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves." We are to be innocent and gentle, but as long as we live in this broken world, we also have to be shrewd like snakes. Shrewd because we know that bad things can happen and do happen around us, and shrewd enough to take appropriate measures to ensure a secure and loving environment for everyone. So let us pray then. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us, may the gentleness of your Spirit lead us, and may the gifts of your Spirit equip us. Amen.